A lot of excitement. This is our favorite show of the year on the APC podcast. Alex Patakis and Ben Foldy here with you. We are without Zach Rapport as he is off in the desert. He likes to take these vacations right before the season starts. I am pumped because I get to be a part of this show for the first time. I've never been a part of our official prediction show, and that's not like wins, losses, Packers record, but it's predictions in the most APC podcast way possible. As Jamie Ross, our show, I don't know, we joke.
Diviner.
Yeah.
Our
official podcast Diviner is here to do a reading today. Well, not here, but he's going to do a reading today for the Packers season and for the podcast. I'm a little nervous as I've never taken part in anything like this. And I know that there's some stuff that he's done specific to hosts on the show. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm pretty pumped up about that.
It won't hurt. I promise.
Yeah.
How do people get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us on Twitter, I guess. Alex Patakis on Twitter. Ben Foldy on Twitter.
Zach Rapport, if you want to get a hold of him and hassle him on his vacation.
And the APC Pod, that podcast Twitter account, it just runs itself. Zach's away, and that thing's it's going. I saw a tweet like an hour ago.
I don't even have the password.
The APC Podcast at gmail.com. Anyway, also, we had a lot of stuff happen with the Packers, so let's get to some of it before we go ahead and talk to Jamie. 53-man roster is out. There's been changes all the way up until basically, 48 hours ago as they shape their roster for their game. I can't believe they're playing a game in 5 days. It's kind of crazy.
I'm excited.
But a roster, it's impossible to run down the whole thing. Everybody's seen it by now. One observation maybe that sticks out to you, a notable roster nugget?
I mean, I think I just have to come on and say that I was so anti. I mean, I wasn't anti Kumerow, but I was saying that he probably wouldn't make the team. And he obviously did sort of make the team, at least for the time being. And, hats off to him. He earned his IR spot. And, I just want to be clear that I was never anti-Kumerow. I just...
Are you surprised that all three rookies made it?
Not at all.
Okay.
No, I was caping for the rookies. All my sons.
All your sons.
I mean, Jamon Moore is not really my son, but... And my real son is Equanimeous St. Brown.
Right.
And Ben, he would have probably been the one that they cut based on draft capital, and I'm not surprised he made the team at all.
My notable roster nugget is going to be in the numbers game, in that there are zero fullbacks and four tight ends. And one of them, and this is a shout-out to Zach Rapport, is Big Bob Tonyan. Robert Tonyan is now officially on the Packers' active roster. I don't know if he'll be active on Sunday, but he's on their 53-man roster heading into the season. He didn't think he was. I don't know if you saw that article. He got a prank text.
Ashram Kitchen.
They figured out where the text came from, but they have not disclosed that information. But apparently someone figured it out. He got a non-920 text, a non-Green Bay area code, but
weird.
He believed it as he was sitting with Jake Kumerow playing a video game.
No good.
And he reported to the facility with his iPad ready to turn it in and was wondering why everyone was so happy when they saw him. So that was cool. And also, can we just celebrate that there is no fullbacks on this team? Because I lost a little bit of life with every Aaron Ripkowski carry, basically from the NFC Championship game that they got blown out in after he fumbled against the Falcons on. And gives me a feeling that the Packers are kind of start playing like modern day football again.
I think we've said it a couple times, but entering the 21st century with the run game is
a huge part.
Something to be welcomed.
Yeah, I would be. I'd be very, very into that. Not to sound rushed, but quickly thought on the Khalil Mack to the Bears thing. We're going to see him Sunday. The Bears say that he will play in some capacity. Khalil Mack traded from the Raiders to the Bears, then extended, becoming the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. Packers were in on it. They made an offer, offered first round picks, but he ends up with Chicago.
Yeah, I don't think that the issue isn't the trade. The issue is from the Packers perspective, the issue isn't the trade value. It's the extension value. And I think that, the way the team is constructed, you need to hit on draft picks fairly often while you have so much cap dedicated to Rodgers and whoever. I mean, if you had Rodgers and Mac and you had to hit on draft picks, but you didn't have first rounders.
I mean, yeah, looking at the deal that Mac got, I mean, within the span of 3 or 4 days, they would have guaranteed $190 million.
Yeah. And you can say
to two players.
And you can say I just had this idea, so I haven't done the math. But if you were to look, I have no idea how much Reggie White took up in cap space, but it couldn't have possibly been comparable to what Khalil Mack is taking up in cap space.
And a big part of that, there's no coincidence at all unfolded after Aaron Donald signed his extension. Mack probably wasn't going to get dealt or extended until then. John Gruden spoke very openly and said as soon as they saw the Aaron Donald deal, like, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
They can't commit that type of money to him. And the Bears can right now because Mitchell Trubisky's on a rookie deal. And it's from the Bears' perspective, it's betting big on Trubisky.
Yeah.
Which I actually might get excited about. Like, I'm not excited about having to face Mac, but I'm kind of excited about the fact that even if he is good, if Trubisky is not, they're going to have a whole lot of money invested in a defense that can only take them so far.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that, especially in a very, very competitive division this year. So I also, hearkening back on something that Zach and I talked about last week on that emergency pod, after all those roster moves that the Packers made and the Rodgers extension, I'm just glad they're having these conversations and they're in on these. Like, Gutekunst made a legitimate offer. It's not necessarily his fault that they probably couldn't commit the type of money that Mac would have, they knew he was going to end up getting. And if there's any truth to the Raiders thinking, you know what, we can trade him to Green Bay, they're probably going to be 10-6, 11-5. We could trade him to Chicago, their first round pick might be 10, 12 picks higher. Then you can't fault him on that either.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was excited about that. I woke up Saturday, I was like, Khalil Mack day, like, we're gonna be gifted. I saw he went to the Bears, but I'm kind of over it now.
Yeah, honestly, once the extension was signed, all the heartburn wore off for me. The only heartburn I have now is worrying about him breaking Aaron Rodgers' collarbone.
Yeah, I know. Just like, don't break our quarterback.
Long games to watch
on the first Sunday of the season, because I know we have DeShone Kizer, not Brett Hundley, but I'm not ready for another season like last year.
Yeah,
aside from those 7 Aaron Rodgers games that we had.
Well, let's see what season we are getting ready for with Jamie Rosp, official podcast diviner.
Could the move for Mac for the Bears impact the Packers? Could not getting Khalil Mack be like a seminal moment in their season? Who knows?
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out. It's all in the cards. Jamie Ross, official show diviner, is going to join us next.
The number you dialed is
Acme Packing Company.
So now we go to everybody's favorite time of the year, which is our check-in with the official APC podcast diviner, Jamie Ross.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Doing well. Beaming in from Toronto, Ontario, just north of the lake.
On the shores of Lake Ontario.
You got it, just across from New York.
You been good? Did you,
Whirlwind, South America, Rocky Mountains, developing my divinatory power everywhere I go.
Wow. That's a lot of, yeah. All right. Well, then I guess let's just jump right in.
Let's do it.
I think last time we talked, you were about to go bless a dairy herd in Vermont.
In Vermont, yeah.
And
I've been focusing on humans this last year. I've been blessing a few more humans than usual, a couple
great
more weddings. And yeah.
Well, so you're like Jarvis Landry. You're always blessing them.
Yeah, bless them.
Bless them.
All right, so do you have your deck ready and your stars aligned?
I do. Yeah, in fact, as we were talking previously, as we were just talking a moment ago, I pulled the first couple cards.
Okay.
And I remember, so this is the third year pulling cards for the team. And last year we had some fun also pulling cards for the show. So I thought that this year also we would do a couple more cards for you guys. Are there still three of you in the band?
There are three of us in the band, but only two of us in the room.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
So it's you, Ben, and who else is in the room?
Me and Alex, who I don't think you've talked to before.
I don't think so. I've missed the past 2 years of this for some reason.
Okay, well, good to meet you.
Good to meet you. I'm a little nervous.
Like to ask your permission to pull some cards as well for you.
For Alex or for me?
For both of you guys in the show.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That would be great.
Yeah, play on, player.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good. So I pulled some cards for the team itself.
Okay.
Pulled some cards for this year's picks. I pulled some cards for the season. That's kind of what everyone wants to know about.
Uh-huh.
And then I pulled some cards for the show.
This, lay it on us. Give us the bad news first.
You want the bad news first?
Well, wait, no, just give us, do your thing. You're the professional.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. I don't quite know how it works. Is anyone a gambling person in the studio?
Alex lays some action here again.
Okay. So this is a season to play a long game. Things are going to be happening very slowly for the team, it looks like.
Ooh.
It's going to be a very slow start, especially in terms of the team in general. So like the sort of like a general sort of lag until later on in the season. there's going to be sort of a defining moment in the later half of things. So I would say keep your money off the team until the second half of the season.
All right.
That's good advice.
The team itself looks like it's doing great things, but the season itself is a little, it's hard to get that momentum going.
Okay.
Is there, what for you guys, what's the relationship between like the fans to the actual performance? Like, do you think that really makes any difference if the fans are really on side with the team?
No. I would say, I mean, I think in Packers fans' minds, 100%. In reality, Packers fans will turn on the team after the first two games and come back around week six and be like, oh, this team is exactly what we thought we were. Forget all the times where we were saying that this team is bullshit, so on and so forth.
Because it's sort of like there's indications that Green Bay is just not with the team, especially if, according to the indications, it's going to be sort of a bad season to start with. There's sort of an indication that there's sort of a lack of support for the team from the fan base, which is interesting.
Maybe this is people mad about Khalil Mack. Maybe that's what that is. The Packers just declined to make a move on a serious player who will be on a rival franchise. So who we will be playing on Sunday.
Okay, this is a very interesting point. So the world card is the final card in the whole deck. It's card 22. It's sort of the Omega card. It had to be an Alpha and an Omega. And wherever it comes up in a reading is where you really want to put some emphasis on in someone's life. So if I'm doing a personal reading with someone and they're trying to get pregnant, and we're laying out some options, and the world card comes out with like in vitro fertilization, it's really something to focus on.
Okay.
And so for your guys' readings, there's a pick that received the world card.
So a pick, like a draft pick, or?
Yeah, a draft pick, exactly.
Oh.
Like a player, a particular player has received the world card. And that could mean the whole difference in the team, like in the whole arc of the team's actual history.
Oh. That's so, a lot of that's no it, no pressure.
Can I just interject and ask a question? Is the world card always a positive thing?
The world card brings a lot of weight to whatever's going on. In this case, it's surrounded by positive and negative cards. So it's sort of like it's determined the way that this sort of choice gets made. I mean, unfortunately, you guys aren't the ones making that choice. That's why it's kind of funny doing this reading for you guys, because we're not the ones with the agency in the matter.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the world card's there kind of underscores the selection process this year in terms of who's playing. And if you guys notice that this, like you just mentioned, this is a player that's not going to be playing on the Packers this year.
Yeah.
Like, that could be the defining thing that really puts the nail in the coffin of this season.
Oh God. Or being more optimistic. Being more optimistic, it could be, you know, the Packers have a lot of hope in this draft class, and they're going to see a lot of meaningful reps right off the bat. I mean, Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson are could be, you know.
I mean, it could be Khalil Mack on defensive
what we
player
were
of the
waiting
year
for.
And the Bears going like
Yeah, but he wasn't a draft pick. He was a free agent.
Fair.
Oh, he wasn't even a free agent. He was a trade. But I'm choosing to stay optimistic about the world card. So what else is in the cards for the Packers? So the team might not have the support of the team might not have the support of the fans.
That I can believe there was a regime change.
There
that
was
makes
a regime
sense.
Change.
There's a lot to prove in terms of the front office structure.
And the world card around the draft picks.
Yes, exactly. Well, there's more information about the draft. For some reason, the draft seems to be very important this year.
Okay, go on.
When does that period finish? Is that soon?
I mean, I guess technically they could still sign a player or two in the next couple days. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that like basically the player acquisition phase is about to wrap up for the season.
Okay. Well, there's something interesting in that. I think there's something still to come out of that.
Oh.
And so once that period is done, like in a couple days for your next show, I would spend a little time looking over the draft picks and seeing what that could really tell you about the show. It's sort of the cards are sort of saying everything you need to know about this season lies in the draft pick.
Huh. That's a lot.
Strange.
Yeah, no pressure, guys. No pressure, youngins.
In terms of the team itself, are there a lot of new players? Like, are there a lot of younger players more so than most years?
Yeah. I think I read today their turnover. They have something like 20-something new players on their active roster.
Which is new.
Which is like almost 50% of the team.
Yeah.
Which is actually a really good thing in the long term. Not so much for this season. But the... it augurs really well in terms of mentorship. Oh. There should be a lot of really interesting new blood. Again, it's pointing to fans. There's something around like a disconnect between fans and team that sort of also interrupts this sort of like the enthusiasm around these younger players, these less tested players. That kind of makes me feel a little, I don't know, the lack of enthusiasm is contagious. So I think it's also your job.
We have
as
to
the ringleaders. Exactly.
To bring
you
the fans on board. Okay.
That's it. I was just going to say, one of the things that came up also is your role, particularly not only in communications and in terms of like getting the word out and making this sort of like animating this, the process of the whole year's worth of this team, but what else is the show beyond just a radio show? These cards are asking the question about like, in what ways do you guys make relationships potentially physically face to face and through objects? It's asking the question of like, what beyond just your voices, our voices, is the show, and how can it become more real?
These cards are
asking a good question.
These are deep cards.
Yeah, these are.
I mean, it's funny because actually we had somebody on Twitter last night ask about like our actual in-person presence at a New York Packers bar, and I think that's the first time that's happened.
Yeah,
that anybody actually wants to meet us in the flesh. Boy, will they be disappointed.
I mean, Ben, I know you, and you're charming as hell.
Oh, thank you kindly, sir.
And I think... I also think you guys, like, there's something around the face. There's something around the face, and there's something around objects. Like, these cards are asking about, essentially, where's the merch?
Where is the merch? That's that...
Where is the merch?
Man.
And I'm really not trying to search for like the bright side of potentially a very slow season to get started, but these cards are asking about the physical reality and like in what ways do the non-players in a more general way, in what ways do the non-players like you guys form part of a successful season? Oh. And in what way can a slow season actually be a really fun season to root for your favorite team?
I mean, I was making that argument last year.
We both of us often say that usually spices it up.
Yeah, like, I mean, and I think that's not an unreasonable... I think I could very well see the Packers' playoff hopes in the NFC North coming down to the last couple of weeks, if not the last week.
And I can see a quick start by the Bears, let's say, with Mac, leading to a lot of fans
or
turning
the Vikings.
On Gutekunst.
Or maybe
like,
this is
why
all,
didn't you do this?
Maybe this is all about Vince Beagle, and people are like, why didn't you draft J.J. Watt,
guys? Oh, yeah, that's true.
Although J.J. Watt hasn't proven to be that spectacular. Anyway, we digress.
T.J. Watt, not J.J. Watt.
Sorry,
J.J. Watt
is
spectacular.
T.J. Watt, T.J. Watt. Too many Watts.
Yeah.
Should we get to the individual cards?
Sure.
To you guys' particular...
this is for us?
Cards?
I would say to recap,
based
on last year's reading about the show, I think that you were pretty right. Because I think if I'm not mistaken, there was like an indication of like some substantial growth, given what Zach says, year over year, numbers wise.
Oh,
definitely
that's true.
Has
been. Yeah. I thought you meant for the season. I thought you were talking about the Packers.
And now we're sitting here in this like great studio.
It's true.
And that's much better than sitting in like Zach's living room.
It's true.
I think we also talked about someone like itching for a little bit of distance or like change in their role I can't remember which one of you it was. Someone sort of having dropped back. And it's interesting because again this year there's an indication of someone sort of itching for a different position or role in the collective. And Ben, that's you. And
oh, it's me.
Like, yeah.
I didn't realize it was that specific.
Well, it is this time. I have to name names.
Okay.
Guys, that's what the fans want. That's what the fans deserve.
You're so good at this.
So you got to, Ben, make sure you take some breaks. Make sure you take a little bit of time outside the studio. Miss a show if you feel like you can, if your co-hosts let you.
Wow, you are.
I have a radio show myself, and a community radio in Montreal. And
feel free to plug it,
like,
for all the
yeah,
people
I
out
mean,
there.
It's called Audio Smut, and it's a sex talk radio show about Eros and desire and art.
Is it on CQUT?
Man, it is.
I used to be the board president.
Language. No way.
I was the board president of CQUT for a year.
That's awesome.
It was the most amazing, superficial
30-year-old radio station
position I ever had. I all I had to do was like approve the board meeting minutes and stuff like that.
Well, Audios must have been around for 12 years now. And this summer I've missed two consecutive shows. And you know what? It actually feels amazing. It feels amazing just to move away for a second from something you love and trust that it's going to continue in a good way.
I mean, it's funny you bring that up just because we've basically had to rearrange the whole recording schedule around me having to go to class in our normal time slot this year. So, like, a lot of our changes are being driven by necessity. Even being in this nice studio is driven by that necessity. So it is already pushing the show in new directions.
Right. I mean, it's also like it'll just, you know, be a reason for your fans to miss you a little bit more, and then your return will be that much more pleasant.
Oh. So what are the other cards for us then?
So we got another card for Alex, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so your card, Alex, is a chariot. And the chariot's a neat one. The chariot is really a card about progress. So progress in the direction that you would like to go. And if we're talking about your role in the show, especially in light of Ben's potential, you know, breather from direct organizing as in the way that he does, in what ways could you seek out more leadership?
Wow.
Interesting.
Face of the brand.
Yeah. I mean, do you do radio or do you talk for a living?
I do.
Look at Alex's face light up.
I definitely do.
I just want to go on the record that I did not tell Jamie anything about you. I did not.
Are you on my LinkedIn right now, Jamie?
We don't have LinkedIn in Canada. Don't worry.
it's not great anyway.
So what do you do?
Well, no, I've worked. So prior to the show, I worked in radio in the Milwaukee market. And now I work at Sirius XM. So I'm still in media. Which is interesting that you would know
good.
This.
That's good. I think, I mean, I think you need to like make sure that your role in this podcast is part of how you conceive of your professional life and one of your professional activities. It can be just fun, and it is. It's an amazing show, but it's also, I think you need to sort of enlarge the self-concept of your role in the show. These cards together talk about you taking more of a steerage role than you have before.
That's interesting.
How does that make you feel, Alex?
It makes me, I don't know, I guess I feel good about it. I'm like very intrigued because I feel like all of this has been kind of spot on. I mean, I've definitely asked myself those questions like, am I doing enough?
Well, and it would
particularly this offseason when I was kind of disinterested in football. And now I'm like, you know what? I feel like I need to like rededicate myself.
Well, and it lines up with the other moves in your radio life, right?
Yeah.
So, because now you get to watch the
games.
That's also very true.
One more thing that I'd like to add too, which is really nice about these two cards in particular in tandem, is that there's a familial aspect to the two of them, and so there's this sort of sensitivity to each other's needs and skills and capacities that comes through years of being friends together. And I think there's something really wholesome actually. Like I know. Like the idea of sitting down for a tarot reading isn't always like this thing of, you know, like talking about our deepest feelings. But there's something about these two cards that is urging you guys as a trio to, to just really like sort of take stock of how well you're doing in terms of like this sort of family vibe.
To watch the games together.
It's a really good formula.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. And this will be the first year.
This will be the year that Alex gets to watch the games with the rest of us because he won't be working at Sirius on Sundays.
Yeah.
Dude.
The cards know.
Yeah, which will then enhance analysis because I could actually watch the games I'm talking about.
That's the family bond. I think if the cards have a take-home, mm-hmm. it's that you shouldn't really worry too much about the beginning of the season. The first half of the season, don't worry about it. Worry about getting the family vibe going, getting some inside jokes going, and getting some merch going. Like, get people as excited as you are about a lackluster half of a season. Then put your coin on the team because they're probably going to do really well in the later half.
So I just want to... I'm looking at the schedule right now, and the first half of the season is Bears, Vikings, Washington football team.
Easy there, yeah.
Buffalo Bills, And then a pretty hard stretch of Lions, Niners, Rams, Patriots. I could easily see the team going 4-4 in that.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, no, I can too. I can see them going 0-2 in the division and people really being like,
well, that would be, I mean, if they do that, then they're probably going 2-6 to start. I don't know. They probably wouldn't be that bad. But, yeah, I mean, so I think.
I have one more question as well, too, before you say I just cut you off.
Yeah, go on. No, no.
Just one other thing. As I'm looking through the cards, there's one more thing that I would add as in a little addendum to the take-home is there's something about sneaking, maybe sneaking with the ball. Like, I don't really know anything about football. We don't really play football in Canada. But there's a sneaking thing that's really persistent through a couple of these cards.
Misdirection. Sort
of there's a secrecy. Hmm. Yeah, which I like to also think of not only on the scale of the season, but also in terms of like the actual particular ways people are using the ball. The sort of sneaking. Do people ever? They don't sneak the ball over the line, do they?
Oh no, there is definitely there's definitely QB sneaks. There's misdirection. Yeah. There's play option. And actually, I just Googled Philbin play action tendency. And the first thing that popped up is an article on Acme Packing Company. Packers hoping to restore the declining play-action pass in 2018.
Wow.
And that is by Sean Wagner on August 3rd, 2018. So we might get more Philbin-ish play-action with a sturdy run game and passers out the backfield and everything. We'll see. I'm excited. I like misdirection.
I would look for that. I would really look for that as a hallmark of this season for the team.
So
sort of like anything is sneaky and obfuscatory.
So the new so according to this article, peak Rodgers years from 2009 to 2014, Aaron Rodgers averaged 10.8 yards per play action attempt. It was well above the league average of 8.68 yards. From 2015 to 2017, the numbers paint a polar opposite trend, dipping to 6.41 per play action compared to the league average of 8.75. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Definitely. I mean, that's like the staple of their successful offense.
Jamie, does any of that mean anything to you?
It's absolutely Greek.
Yeah. All right. No, but that's interesting. I will actually try to keep an eye out on the play action and the misdirection. That's why I love these readings. It just gives me something weird to focus on for no reason. And then I do it and it like either it usually confirms whatever I'm looking for. That's the beautiful thing about looking for something.
That's the beautiful thing about divination is that people often who don't really worry about it in their day to day will find themselves suddenly at some party or their friend will direct them to a session with a psychic or an astrologer or diviner, a tarot reader. And they'll suddenly just be faced with this thing that they'd never really thought about. And they'll sort of chew it up for a couple of days and it'll just sort of sit with them. And that's the funnest thing because it's not necessarily that they get insight in that moment. There's an epiphany, but they get given these little seeds that they plant in their brain. And then throughout the next couple of weeks or next couple of months, they can really grow into these really neat ideas or pieces of wisdom that they'll sit with. I like that.
We like it.
Yeah.
We're here like nodding at each other and like smiling.
I'm glad. I'm really glad. I think, like Ben, you don't gamble at all in the.
I play a lot of fantasy football.
It's gambling.
Gambling-ish, gambling light.
Because there is actually like I began with this same question. I might close with it as well. There's an indication around gambling this year.
No.
And I'm interested. Like, is it possible to gamble in a certain game? It is, right? Not just the whole season?
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely possible to gamble in certain games. Why do you ask?
Well, I mean, I've never done it.
Okay.
But given the cards that have fallen, I think I would.
All right.
I wouldn't gamble on the season, but there's something very persistent in two of these cards that bring up the issue of gambling. And it might be... I don't know. It might add spice of life. It might add some urgency to the show as well. If you guys are able to, if you feel like disclosing
to become touts,
you lost. $200
yeah.
for the last game. Like that actually might be interesting.
All right. So expand our tower.
But you mentioned a particular game. Tell us the game.
Yeah, now
I
want to
put
Alex
my life savings on one game. Just
you know what we can do? If you have a game in mind, you know who they're playing in what order, right? Until mm-hmm. playoffs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we can
You guys can each ask about one particular game, and I'll draw another extra card.
All right.
Really? Okay. What? Patriots.
Yeah.
Packers, Patriots. What's the date, Ben? Do you
November,
need a date?
November 4th.
November 4th.
Game, prime time.
Okay. 1 second. I'm going to draw a card.
Okay. Did he drop, or is this just really good? Building the suspense.
It's good suspense.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
All right. All right. That's good. Good advice.
It's definitive. Don't do it.
I will ask Packers Falcons, December 9th, 2018, 1 p.m. It's the
Packers,
fourth
Falcons,
to last
December
game
19th?
Of the season. December 9th.
December 9th. Okay, 1 sec. That would be the one.
That's the one.
Wow.
Alex's eyes lit up. He's a degenerate.
You can't place that bet yet, but when you can.
I would put that in a note in your phone. It's a very, very strong series of omens.
Alex,
that one.
He's actually putting it in his phone. I wish I could
also,
describe this better.
Is that also, that's a game that's late in the season, right?
It is late in the season.
Perfect. Yeah, that fits with the original cards as well.
All right. Alex is excited. Yeah. I'm gonna lay money on that game too. I have to. I can't. That's how the game works. I don't play the cards. The cards play me.
I love it. I mean, the cards play me too. Like, I never got into this business out of my own free will, I like to say. Like, I started when I was 10 years old, and I picked up a pack of cards and got so I was like fascinated with Magic the Gathering and all those sort of like weird sort of like gothy role-playing things when I was a little wee child.
Yeah.
And I started reading, and the more things started being helpful and useful to people, the more I started seeing people's mouths open wide after having memorized all the associations for the cards, the more it really like resonated with me. But it really like, yeah, the cards played me at first. It was crazy. It was a real surprise.
Well, you know what? Without the cards, we wouldn't have these great episodes once a year that I know a lot of our fan base looks forward to. And I'm not even being sarcastic about that. I do know. I mean, that's mostly because almost everybody I know doesn't care about football, but they do care about weird. And Jamie, you bring the weird in a lovely way. That's a compliment.
I love it.
I mean, I think even all the people I'm talking about also probably know you and just love you. So,
Oh, that's great.
But no, I've never seen anybody react like better to me saying I have a football podcast than saying, oh yeah, and then we do a tarot card reading for the season and people like lose their shit without fail.
I gotta admit, I was pretty interested to find out how the first session went, and when I heard that it was pretty accurate, and then I heard just now that the second year was pretty accurate, I'm very pleased.
Yeah.
Because normally it's interesting because I'm kind of breaking one of my cardinal rules in reading for you guys, in that we're not working with like life and death. We're not really working with things that are of prime importance to someone's life, right? This is leisure. And one of the ways I believe magic works is that it works where it's needed.
Mm.
And I think there's something really interesting there. If it's working very well in this context, in what way do we need sports?
Well, I think, I mean,
In what way do we need this camaraderie?
My turnaround would be, like, play is as necessary as anything else in life.
Totally.
If not more necessary.
Totally. Totally. And I think the cards that came up today sort of point to this thing of, if there is this camaraderie that the three of you have, in what way does that give us something really, really nice and really meaningful at the end of the day to listen to that? I think there's something really, a little bit more than superficial to talk about someone else's game of football. There's something really, really awesome about that.
You are always
kind of, I think,
you're the best. You're always the best advertisement we could possibly have for our show.
Yeah.
It's like,
no,
it never fails for you to like really make me want to do this show.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, it's also like, as a radio maker myself, like that's one of the things that, we have a monthly show at CKT, but it's one of the things that makes life really worth living. Like, it's this really subtle, beautiful, repetitive ritual where we get to hang out with our friends, shoot the shit, and the topic itself is almost not even that crucial. And the cards that came out for you guys today are really pointing at that. It's this family. It's this thing where we're not the Oprah show necessarily, but even if we have like 50 people who tune in, especially live, there's something really special about that. People who are listening to the live broadcast, at least for us, it's like, it's this weird connectivity. And it's this like, it's this really beautiful thing.
Jamie, it is a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
We have to draw things to an end, but you know, as always, I love talking to you. I want to give you an opportunity to plug whatever you want to plug.
Yeah,
other than audio smut,
I'm working on a lot of art projects at the moment. A really interesting exhibition that will be traveling through Canada to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the decriminalization of homosexuality in this country.
All right.
It happened in 69, so we're going to be doing a big exhibition to celebrate that. Check it out, jamieross.org.
Jamieross.org. You are a nonprofit, my friend.
It's for orgasm, but we'll just pretend. Have a great season, you guys.
Jamie, always
Thank
a pleasure.
You very much.
We'll talk to you soon. We'll let you know in about a year how all this pans out.
Perfect. Be well.
All right. Later, man.
Huge thanks to Jamie Ross. That was a world of fun, I got to admit. And I have a lot of reflecting to do. I'm going to go home tonight and just kind of think about the leadership role I could take. And Ben, I want you to know that if you ever need to just say I can't do it because your schedule gets too tough, just let us know, because we're a family, man.
I will.
No, but seriously, that's great. The takeaways.
It's a fantastic experience every time.
I'm not betting on the Packers on Sunday. I know we always do predictions and wrap it up.
Okay.
7.5, Packers are favored. I'm obviously taking the Bears to cover because I was told by Jamie not to bet on the Packers early in the season.
Well, that's true.
So
yeah.
I'm taking the Bears with the 7.5.
All right. Yeah, and I'm going to hold off until the Falcons game, and then I'll maybe do something.
I'm going all in on that Falcons
game.
Yeah, all right. I'm really bummed that we can't bet Packers-Patriots because it's going to be like the game of the season, but I feel like that's one where maybe Patriots is the way to go, or just laying off is the way to go. Vegas will be the big winner on that weekend. All right, anything else? We'd like to first thank, the Craig Newmark School of Journalism, where we sit here in New York City, and obviously our engineer, Chad Bernhardt, who sits here and listens to us talk about
Literally Packer anything stuff.
And he's just like, yeah, man, whatever. But yes, no, huge thanks to you, Chad, for doing this, especially without Zach. Everyone here at the Craig Newmark School of Journalism makes it super easy to put together a show,
which
is much more pleasing to the ear than it used to be.
And if you're looking for a career in journalism and you want to do a second or first even master's degree, I strongly recommend the Craig Newmark School of Journalism at the City University of New York.
If you happen to be a Packers fan in the New York City area, we strongly recommend, and Jamie does too, to come hang out and watch a game. We need to build a face-to-face rapport with some of our fans. We'll be at Tom and Jerry's. That's kind of our spot for Packers games. On Sunday night, free brats at halftime.
That's great.
It's a great spot. So go ahead and join us out there. All right, that'll do it. APC Podcast, real football, meaningful games coming your way in days, in hours. Enjoy it. Just don't be so talky. Buy around, and drink to Milwaukee. And raise your glasses high. Chug-a-luck until they're dry, and raise your spirits to the